It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Justice Mutukura, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon, listeners, wherever you are listening from. I'm glad to have you this afternoon as we explore more in the Word of God.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Pastor. We're talking about what's happening in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. The person who's asking a question for today is asking, how is the concept of predestination understood in light of Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30? Do you have it opened right there before you, Pastor?
Okay. Okay, yeah, maybe to start off with, let me first define this word predestination.
Before you define it, Pastor, allow me to just read the verses so that people can get the full understanding of what this person is asking about. Is that okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30 reads, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." Go ahead, Pastor. You can answer.
Okay. So this word predestination, we can split it into two. Pre means prior to or before. Then destination is the place or point of arrival. Okay, then from the word predestination, it is defined as it is God's choice of persons for eternal life or eternal death. This is how those who founded this doctrine of predestination defines it. And we see this doctrine, it began way back with a gentleman by the name Augustine and Pelagius. So these are the founders, and it goes on. It was carried over by John Calvin, and then we also see Martin Luther also believed in this doctrine. Okay, so of all the doctrines of the Christian faith, certainly one of the most puzzling and least understood is the doctrine of predestination. It seems to many as obscure and even bizarre. It appears to others to be an unnecessary inquiry into something that exceeds the human capacity to understanding. But all the same, we have to explore it in the Bible. But let me begin it this way. Let me state this. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God creating man in His image, Adam and Eve. After He created them, He then instructed them not to eat from the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. And then they went on to eat against God's will, against God's commandment. One thing that I want to state there is when God created man, He did not make them like robots. He created them with the power of choice. He gave them the power of choice to choose whatever they want and whatever they can choose. God gave it to them to choose.
Then what does it mean to be predestined then, for this?
To be predestined, like I have explained, they say it is God's choice.
No, not
person for eternal life or eternal death.
Not Augustine, Mufundis, not the saints, not the Roman Catholic saints, the text. The person is asking about what Paul wrote
I'm coming to the text. For us to understand the text, I have to give this background so that we when we get to the text, we will be able to understand the text. Okay. Then coming to one thing that I want to that I want our listeners to understand is that God gave us the power of choice, and this power of choice can lead us to damnation, can lead us to salvation. Now, coming to this text, as we have read it, it is saying, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be formed, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the first born among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he's also glorified. Maybe if I may be a bit sketchy there, if I may ask, who is being referred to here, according to our to the question here, who is referred to? If you may answer for him or not, I can still go on.
Those who he has chosen.
Those whom he has chosen.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So this text goes on and on and until it gets to this chapter 9, talking about this issue of predestination. Maybe you may allow me to add on another text and then try to extrapolate or try to explain these texts so that we may get to our understanding. When we get to Genesis, sorry, Exodus chapter 5, we see another story that is being referred to in chapter 9 or in chapter 8 of the book of Romans. We saw in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 5, God sending Moses and Aaron to go to Egypt before Pharaoh. And as Moses came before Pharaoh, Pharaoh was instructed to release the Israelites so that they can go to the promised land. But Pharaoh refused. But I like one thing, verse 1, verse 2 there says, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he may not allow the Israelites to go. So Pharaoh's refusal was followed by a display of God's mighty power in a series of plagues. Still, Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. The scripture says that God hardens Pharaoh's heart, but the hardening of Pharaoh's heart was not really an act of God. It was a deliberate choice on Pharaoh's own part. By repeated warnings and displays of divine power, God sent light designed to point out to Pharaoh the errors of his way, to soften and subdue his heart, and to lead him to cooperate with his will. But Pharaoh refused. Despite successive manifestation of God's power, Pharaoh remained fiercely determined. He could not budge, refusing to be corrected.
Are we
It
still answering
despised him.
predestination, Pastor?
Yes, I'm coming. I'm coming. Just be patient a little bit. Right. Refusing to be corrected, he despised and rejected the light until he became intensely to it, insensitive to it. It was at this time that the light was finally withdrawn. It was thus his only resistance to the light that hardened his heart. So here, the scripture is saying God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But when you check from the explanation that I was giving, it was Pharaoh who resisted the warnings that God gave him. The plagues one after the other, but Pharaoh did not give heed to what Moses was saying. So the issue of predestination, they say God chooses this to happen, and he chooses this not to happen. they mistakenly understand the foreknowledge of God, what we call omniscient of God. God has got the foreknowledge to know what will become tomorrow, to know the present status, to know what will become in the future. But the power of choice has been given to us as human beings to choose what we want, and that will lead us to salvation, and that will predestine us to salvation. Not to say that God has chosen whom he wants to save and has chosen some not to be saved. If we with that say, then we contradict the harmony of the scriptures. If you remember John 3 verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life." So there is an issue of faith. One has to choose. One has to stand with what he wants. And then God will make his selection out of that. Maybe I'll stop here to allow some more questions.
The question was on Romans chapter 8, 29, from this.
Okay. Did I not answer in a way?
No, Mfundis. You spoke about all the other verses, but you didn't talk about Romans 8, 29, and 30.
Okay. I was trying to shed more light on Romans chapter.
You never touched it a chapter, bit. Not even a bit, Mfundis. You said nothing about
not
Romans.
Even a bit. Okay. Why is it that it seems as if I'm not touching it, but in a way I've answered the issues to do with predestination. But anyway, let me delve into verse 29. Here it is being referred to and God is saying to us here, he has predestined. I want to quickly agree with the notion that we as human beings, we are predestined to salvation, unlike to damnation. God has predestined that every one of us should be saved.
Verse 29 doesn't say everyone. It says those God foreknew. It's not everyone. There are those who are foreknown, and there are those who are not foreknown.
And what makes that possible? It is the choices that we make.
It doesn't say that then, for
and
this.
God no. Yes, I'm trying to shed more light on it. So
but
that
light should come from the scriptures, Mfundis. You can't add your own there. We need to understand what the scripture says.
True.
There is nothing in the scripture.
We add in the harmony of scriptures. We are here. We are just taking a part of it. We have not read the whole scripture. We are just trying to pick some sense from verse 29 and verse 30. This is why I am trying to fuse in all the ideas that pertains predestination.
So where do we get it from that when verse 29 says, for those God foreknew, it doesn't mean those, it means all. Where do we get it from?
That, you mean all? What are you saying? Can you come again?
The verse says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. So this part speaks to speaks of a select group of people. It doesn't speak to all. You are saying it means all. I'm trying to understand, where do you get it from that this verse does not mean those? It means all.
Okay, you mean the particular group that is being mentioned here?
Absolutely, Mfundis.
Yes. So I'm saying, God knows, in his foreknowledge, he knows the choice that we are going to make in the future. but he doesn't influence those choices. He gave them to us to make.
Sodom Funes, you're adding the issue of choices there. It doesn't appear anywhere. Remember, you said we are going to take it from the scriptures, and in the scriptures, you don't find the issue of choices there. God is not knowing people who are going to choose. He is knowing those he predestined.
Okay. I hear the angle that you want me to answer this particular text. Okay. For today, let me hang it there. If you may allow me some other times, I'll try to deal specifically with this one and then give a quick answer on it. But I was actually trying to explain on the whole subject of predestination, how it came to be and how it applies in our lives.
I understand, Mfuntz. I think the person was rather pointed. The person was asking the question. It was pointed to ask in the light of Romans 8, 29 and 30. So I'm sure this person is suggesting that they understand predestination. They just need to understand it in the light of Romans chapter 8, verse 29, verse 30. But we'll talk tomorrow, okay, and then you can give us some insight tomorrow on it.
Okay, I see. All right, maybe tomorrow I'll come with a very quick answer to elaborate on that one.
All right.
I hear you, my brother.
Okay, thank you very much, Mfuntz. Appreciate it.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.